Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today. Oh, we love you. We thank you for your word engrafted into us, which is able to change us and to make us more like you, to give us your mind and your heart for things. I ask right now that you would give us all the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. We ask that your word would be engrafted into our hearts and that we would be changed forever in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning's message is called Seeds and Vines. Seeds and Vines. I know it says benefits in the bulletin, but I decided to put that off a couple weeks because as we head into Pentecost, we're going to talk about more of the benefits of the Spirit-filled life, the Spirit-led life. Those are benefits of being a Christian. We don't have to wander around aimlessly, not knowing where we're going and what God has for us. Right, brother? Come on. So we're going to put that off for a couple weeks. We're going to talk about seeds and vines this week. And why are we going to talk about seeds and vines? Well, because symbolism, idioms are used throughout the Bible. And we have to learn as believers what they mean, what they represent. There is one particular passage of scripture in Mark, where Jesus says, if you understand this parable, then all the other parables will make sense to you. Isn't that nice? Isn't it good to have the key? That's the key. The key to understanding the parables is found in Mark chapter 4. So obviously we're not going to start there. 1 Corinthians 2:14. You could put your finger in Mark chapter 4. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, but the natural man, and this is Paul writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. In order to understand the Word of God, we have to spiritually discern it. We have to spiritually understand it. You can't, when you're talking to somebody who's not born again, they're not saved, and you're trying to explain something to them, you can't. I mean, it's like pounding on a door because they're spiritually discerned. They're spiritually understood. The natural man cannot understand the things of God because God is a spirit. When we get born again, our spirit becomes new. It's a new creation, something that's not ever been before. 2 Corinthians 5:17. You're a new creation. We're made in the image of God. I'm a spirit. I have a soul, which is my mind, will, and intellect. Not my brain, but it interacts with my brain, my mind, my soul. And I live in a body. And one day, we're all going to get new ones that don't wake up tired. Come on, don't get kinks in the neck. You go out and rake all day and not be tired and not have allergies from sitting on your deck. Come on. I went out yesterday and sat on my deck. I knew what the result was going to be. But I have to do it. You know? One of these days, we won't have to believe God for healing anymore. We'll just have glorified bodies that don't get sick and don't get broken and don't have pain. Come on. That death isn't reigning in them anymore. But until then, we've got these bodies. And for the most part, the majority of people on this planet are living by this body, by what it tells them, by how they feel. They're not having their minds renewed, so they just believe whatever said. Come on, never in my life have I seen some things believed the way that are being believed today. I'm 52, I can say that. I didn't just fall off the turnip truck yesterday. Jesus uses a lot of symbols and idioms, and they're things that need to be spiritually discerned and understood. So when Jesus says to his disciples, they're talking about, you know, who everybody else believes he is, right? And Jesus says to Peter, who do you say that I am? And he says, you're the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior. And Jesus says to him, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. That comes by revelation only from my Father. I call you Peter, the rock. Is Peter a rock? Did he suddenly turn into a granite stone? No, it's an idiom, right? A rock is something solid, right? You can go out there and you can find a nice rock and plant your feet on it and stand, and it's not going anywhere, right? What is the thing that's the rock? It's the revelation that Peter has about who Jesus is. In this case, that he's the Messiah. It's foundational to our Christian faith. Right? Foundational. Paul says, the gospel, which is laid on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Right? Which is Jesus Christ, the cornerstone, laid on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Are the apostles and prophets now laid in concrete? We have to think about that for a moment. No, but what does it mean? Their teaching, their lives, their manner of existence is foundational to the faith that we have today. It's a foundation. There's a lot of symbols and idioms like that. Let's look at Matthew chapter 6, verses 27 through 34. Because we're going to learn what it's about to be in the kingdom. Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to a stature? Okay, where does worry stem from? From fear. I'm too short. Can you make yourself taller? You know, if I were 2 inches taller, I'd be the right weight for my height. But I can't make myself. You know, I can put my boots on and I can look taller, but we've still got here. You know what I'm saying? That didn't expand. You know, you can. They have this program called Airbrush for phones, and you can go in and you can stretch areas of yourself to make you look different. But then when we see you in public, you don't look like your picture. Right? I can't change my appearance. I can't change my life by worrying. It's not going to happen. Right? Worrying never produced any good, did it? All it did is help you focus on what might or might not happen. And then when you get to it and you get past it, did it happen the way you thought? Usually not. And did worrying help? Never. Which of you, he says, by worrying can add one cubit to your stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven. Does anybody actually take their grass and throw it into the oven? What a waste, right? No, this is talking about under the heat and the pressure of life, right? The grass grows up, it doesn't get water, the heat comes, it dies, right? It's fried, right? Okay. Therefore, do not worry saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things, the Gentiles, the non-believers, seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be added unto you. Well, all what things? Food, clothing, shelter. If God is your Father, and he is, he's my Father, right? Do I have to worry about those things? Am I supposed to seek them? Am I supposed to seek having a better car? Seek having a better job? No. You know, this is one of those things. You know, God told Adam, after they rebelled against him, he said, you know, cursed is the ground for your sake, and you're going to have to toil and sweat, right? That's the curse. Have we been redeemed from the curse? Do I have to work and labor and strive to make ends meet? No, but I will tell you this. Paul said to Timothy, if a man doesn't work, neither should he eat. Come on. The truth is that you're going to have to work. You're going to have to put your hands to something. We have to do that. But we don't have to worry about everything. I haven't worried about anything in years. Man, when we first got here, and I was here for 3 weeks, and I thought, well, that's it, I'm out of here. These people are the devil. This place is the devil. No, I didn't really think that. It was a hard time. It was a hard time when we first got here. I mean, I really struggled. But you know what? I'd come in here, and I'd turn on all the music, and I'd get the speakers and everything turned on, and I'd turn on a camp meeting with Brother Hagin. And I'd get myself all stirred up in the spirit. And then I was ready to go some more. David said, I remind myself, I stir myself up. We've got to stir ourselves up. Worrying isn't going to help you. Stirring yourself up will. Getting yourself right-minded about things is going to help. Okay, well, what does this have to do with knowing the key to everything? Well, we're going to get to that. What is God's way according to Jesus? His kingdom. Let's look at Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. We're just going to read the whole thing, okay? You just can't get enough of the word, right? Come on. Mark chapter 4. And again he began to teach by the sea. Oh, the sea. Down by the Galilee. In the warm sands. Oh, yes. Come on, sister, right? And a great multitude was gathered to him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. So he's standing in a boat in the water, preaching to all these people on the beach. And he said to them in his teaching, listen. This is Jesus. Listen. Behold, a sower went out to sow. And it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground, where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground. I'm good ground. Are you good ground? I'm good ground, and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased and produced some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100-fold. And he said to them, he who has ears, let him hear. But when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable. And he said to them, to you, it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. Remember, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Here is the kingdom of God. But to those who are outside, all things come in parables. They're a mystery. What is this about seed? I don't know. And grass and what are the birds represent? Well, come on. Finish reading it. Seeing, they may see and not perceive, and hearing, they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them. Remember what I said when I first started this. Who is given to understand spiritual things? Spiritual people. Born again people. Okay? And he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? If you don't understand this parable, how will you understand all the parables? So this parable is a key. The sower sows what? The word. And these are the ones by the wayside where this word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. So you could be the kind of ground that the word just bounces off of. You want to be that kind of ground? No. That's why I always pray that we would have the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. Why? Because that opens us up. It helps to make us good soil. So when the word is sown, it doesn't just bounce off. Satan doesn't just come out and take it. Come on, it's going to do something. These, likewise, are the ones sown on stony ground, who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness. Oh, I love that. That's such a good word, Pastor. Right? And they have no root in them, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, for what sake? Is the tribulation coming after you? No, it's coming after the word that was sown in you. Tribulation comes to remove the word of God planted in us. Oh, that's important. See, we tend to think that, you know, I'm just under attack all the time and bad things just happen to me all the time. Well, maybe it's really not all about you. Maybe it's really about the word of God, and God's trying to get something in us, right? So we can get a produce of something coming out of us. Amen? Come on. Immediately they stumble. Now these are the ones sown among the thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things, entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. We can get all caught up in seeking riches. We can get all caught up in getting the better job, and getting the better house, and getting the better car, right? I don't need the better house, and the better car, and the better job. What I need is to be where God wants me. If I'm where God wants me, according to Jesus, then all these things will be added unto me. I don't have to seek them. Do you understand in the Old Testament when it says that the blessing will overtake you? It means the blessing will overtake you. If you're obedient and you're doing what he says to do, the blessing of God is going to come upon you and overtake you. You don't have to seek it. It'll seek you. Come on. God is trying to get us in a place where he can bless us so that we can be... Listen, you know, my wife, she was in this job when we were up in Alaska. Oh, it was a hard place for her. I mean, she'd come home crying, but she couldn't quit her job. That was where God had her. I was in a church where I was the administrator. I'd been there for 5 years. And the pastor would sometimes say the most awful things to me. I had another pastor, and I'm not getting into all detail, but I stayed where I was at because this is where God had put us. Okay? I told this one pastor, you know, I had a dream about this woman who had this tumor. And in the dream, I saw that it was just like fatty tissue and hair. And she was very concerned that it was cancerous. And I told the pastor, and he said, oh, good, let's put it in the bulletin. David knows everything's going to be okay. Come on, you come to me and you tell me something like that, I'm going to be, all right, come on, brother, let's pray about it. Amen. Right? We're going to work together. We're going to see. Why? Because I expect that you guys are led of the Spirit. Amen. I expect that we hear the Spirit of God speaking to us. I expect when I have a dream and something like that happens, that it's God. Right? Come on. Sometimes we've got to stay in a place that's uncomfortable. And the word in us is giving the opportunity to grow under pressure. Come on. But these are the ones sown on good ground. Those who hear the word, accept it, receive it. You accept it. You plant a seed in the ground, the earth accepts it, right? You're not concerned if you stand there and you put a bulb in the ground. You put, you know, the little bulb in the ground. You don't stand there waiting, watching to see if the earth is going to spit it out. No, it accepted it, right? Right, wouldn't it? Like you plant it and the earth spits it back out. You plant it, the earth spits it back out. Well, that's how some of us are with the word of God. God's trying to plant the word in us. No, I don't want that. No, I don't want that. You know, there are some things I've thought over the years. I thought, man, I wish I wasn't responsible for knowing this. Because we're responsible for what we know. Amen. We're responsible for what we know. But these are the ones sown on good ground. Those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit. When the word comes in us, and it is permitted to grow, and how do we let it grow? You plant a seed in the ground, what do you do with it? Do you water it? I mean, sometimes you might just take, you know, like the handful of wildflower seeds and just toss them, and just, you know, whatever comes up, right? Well, that's not how we're supposed to treat the word of God. When we receive it, when you receive the word of God concerning salvation, that Jesus loved you and that he died for you, and you received it with gladness and you accepted it, right? And that seed has been in you growing ever since. Can anybody, March 29th, 1996, in Orchid, California, after spending almost a decade on drugs and living an adulterous lifestyle, doing whatever felt right in my flesh, I came back to the Lord. It was in a little church. It was a little Nazarene church. No, it wasn't Nazarene. Anyway, it doesn't matter. I'm standing there. Well, this is the story. So we're sitting there, and church is about ready to close up, and I had gone with this horrible cold. Have you heard this story before? I had a horrible cold, and I had just come back to my parents, and the agreement was if I would go to Teen Challenge, they'd let me come stay with them until I went to Teen Challenge, right? And so my mom and dad are going to this church meeting. It was a community thing that they had once a month. All the churches would get together, and we went, and I had this horrible cold, and I'm like, come on, I'm sick. I'm like sick as a dog, man. They're like, well, no, you're going. So we stopped at the drugstore on the way there and picked up a whole bunch of stuff for cold medicines and stuff like that, and, you know, doped me up. And so by the time, you know, church is on, I'm like, you know, I'm getting nothing out of it. I didn't get anything out of it. I don't even remember the service at all. Not even a bit of it. But at the end, you know, the things are slowing down, and my mom looks at me. She says, we're not going anywhere until you get prayer. And I said, what? She says, well, we're not going anywhere until you go up and get prayer. I'm like, okay. So I knew who their pastor was, so I went up and I talked to him. And I just as plain as this, I said, my mom says we're not leaving until I get prayer. So will you pray for me? He says, sure, what do you want me to pray about? And I said, I don't know, I've got a cold. So he starts praying for me, and then a couple of other pastors come over and start laying hands on me. I don't know, I must have looked like the devil when I came in that place. Every pastor in there came up to pray for me. Exactly, breakthrough. What happened next was he said, raise your hands, and I raised my hands, and I've got like three or four pastors standing around me, and they're praying for me. And it was like fire came down. I mean, flooded right through me, burned up everything. Then water came rushing up from the bottom and went straight up through me out of the top of me. I got my eyes closed, and this is what I'm seeing. Okay, I'm not a churched people. I haven't been in a church in over a decade. Okay? This is what happened to me. I've got my eyes closed. You know what I'm saying? I haven't had an experience with Jesus since I was a teenager and said, okay, well, if you're real, make it snow. In Ventura. Come on, let's be reasonable about some things. There's a lot of people depending on the crops in Ventura. Y'all like strawberries, right? Well, a lot of them come from there. I'm telling you what, man, I walked out of that place and I got out to the car. I'm like, Mom, I don't think I'm sick anymore. And I'm just like, well, glory to God. You know, I'm born again. I'm a spiritual being now. Come on. I went out the next morning, got my coffee and my cigarette. And I'm standing out in their backyard. I'm like, glory to God, everything looks fabulous. And I'm out there praying in tongues at the top of my lungs. Come on. My parents are like this around me. What happened to him? Oh, I just love Jesus. Okay? The word got in me concerning salvation. It changed my perspective. Nothing looked the same anymore. Everything was different. That seed, you can't take that away from me. You can't pull it out of me. I know for a fact. It was about 8:30 on March 29th, 1996, on a Friday night. In the Hebrew calendar, that was the 6th of Nisan. Come on. When the word gets in us and we allow it, we feed it, man. I got my Bible, man. My mom bought me a Bible. And it was King James Center Column Reference. Oh, it's nice. And I got a Bible cover for it. And I had that thing with me everywhere and markers. And I'm reading through and I'm highlighting everything. Almost to the point now where I look at it, I'm like, oh my goodness, look at how I marked that Bible up. You know, but I mean, I wore that thing out. I wore that Bible out. I went into Teen Challenge. I smoked a pack of cigarettes from Ventura to Bakersfield. I got checked in. You know what happened? I went in, they set me up, put my stuff in my bed, went and ate dinner, took my Bible out, sat on a bench to read my Bible, and God said, notice that you don't have a desire for cigarettes anymore. Come on. It's a supernatural thing. The Spirit of God got in me, and He's been changing me ever since. Come on. I got that Bible, man. I got the Word of God. I've got His seed, and it's sown in me, and it's planted in me. Brother, you can't take it out. Come on, if they told me you have to deny Him, Never. Never would I deny that seed. Never. Never. Come on. It's all about getting that relationship with Him. And tribulation and trials come, and they try to force it out. They try to squeeze it out, man. I'm telling you what. I was so mad at God after we lost our first baby. I was so mad at Him. And Kathy kept saying, you know, I just knew I was supposed to be spending more time with Him. I felt Him calling me to spend more time with Him. And you know what? When it comes down to it, you realize most every bad thing that ever happened to you is whose fault? It's our poor planning. It's our not listening to God. You know what I'm saying? When God tells you something, you ought to do it. That's when supernatural signs and wonders are going to start following, when we're obedient. John chapter 15. Now hold your finger in John chapter 15 and go back to Mark chapter 4. Yeah, right. You'll get it up there, right, Jim? Okay. Verse 21, Mark chapter 4. Also He said to them, is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed? Is it not to be set on a lampstand? For there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret that should not come to light. If anyone has ears, let him hear. Then He said to them, take heed what you hear. Excuse me. Take heed what you hear. Can you hear the wrong thing? If we're to take heed what we hear, pay close attention to what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. That sounds like a reward system, huh? For doing. God rewards those, Hebrews 11, who diligently seek Him. For whoever has, to him more will be given, but whoever does not have, even that what he has will be taken away from him. And He said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground, and should sleep by night, and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. For the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, and then the head, after that the full grain and the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts a sickle in, because the harvest has come. To what else shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what parable shall we picture it? Again, these are pictures. They're parables. It is like a mustard seed, which a man, when it is sown in the ground, is smaller than all the seeds on the earth. Have you ever seen a mustard seed? Man, they are tiny little things. My mom, we saw it yesterday. She had this little necklace, and it has a little tiny mustard seed on it, a little platform on the back. And then on the front, it's got a cross. But it's tiny little mustard seed. Mustard seed, tiny, tiny, okay? It is the tiniest seed, okay? But when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all herbs and shoots out large branches so that the birds of the air can nest under its shade. Listen, this is a tiny little thing that becomes big enough that birds can nest under it. So maybe you got a tiny little seed of faith for something. Don't give up on it. It can become great. And with many such parables, he spoke to them. He spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. But without a parable, he did not speak to them. And when they were alone, he explained all things to his disciples. Then he says, "Let us cross over to the other side." They got in the boat, they went across. What did he do? He declared what was going to happen, right? He put a seed in them. "We're going to cross over to the other side." That's a seed of a word that he put in them. There was no doubt. Listen, he's teaching them in parables and understanding, but they've understood what is the important thing that's going on in any person at any given time. What's happening to them? They're receiving the word. The word. "He renews my strength like the eagle. I don't have to be tired and worn out all the time." Okay, John chapter 15. I just wanted to finish that out because it's important. When you get the word as a seed planted in you, it's like a lamp. I'm going to help you understand that. It's like a lamp. You don't hide it, right? No, you buy a nice lamp, you put it on the table. You don't just stick it under the bed. Right? You want to put it somewhere where it does what it's called to do, to shine and be a light. The word is seed in us. The importance of the seed is what we place on it. Where we place it. Place it on the lampstand, or you hide it away. John chapter 15. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser." Is Jesus a vine? I mean, can you go out and look at him, you know, with all of his little tentacles attached to a fence somewhere, you know, producing grapes? No, he's not a vine. But this is another parable, another idiom, okay? He's using this to describe something. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches." You are the branches. We are the branches. "He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So will you be my disciples." Our job is to bear fruit. He puts the seed in us. What do you do with seed? You water it. You don't pull it out, see how it's doing. You just know that it's there. You water it. A vine. Grapevines. You drive up and down the Central Coast, man. I mean, mile after mile after mile is grapevines and grape vineyards. And they get these great big stalks on them, this great big root base that's going down. And then you've got these vines going out from it. And off of each vine comes a little branch that produces fruit. You're a branch. The vine doesn't produce fruit, but it is the catalyst, it is the source of the life from the root, which is God. God puts his word in us, which is the vine. The vine spreads forth branches. That's us. We bear fruit. Branches bear fruit. Roots don't bear fruit. I never pulled a peach out from underneath a tree. Well, I mean, you know, unless it was, you know, it fallen under the tree and was rotting. We're branches. We're to bear the fruit of God. We're to bear the fruit of obedience to his word sown in us. When you read, by his stripes, you were healed. That's an opportunity to bear fruit. I was healed. Man, I'm telling you what, I was healed so good that night after that prayer meeting. Man, I was healed good. When they said that Faith was going to die, we said, no, she's not. She's going to live. That was our seed. His word is seed sown into us. If Sunday is the only time that you're receiving seed, the only time you're in church, I get up every morning, and I'm not bragging on myself. I'm not bragging on myself. I get up every morning, and I read the Bible, and I have teachers that I listen after, and I get fed every day. I'm sowing seed. Man, I'm telling you what, I've got so many vision and visions for this place. Y'all don't know. Come on, I mean, God's got plans. God's got plans. He's stirring me up like I've not been stirred up in a long time. God's got a plan for here. God's got a plan for you. God's got a plan for this place. He's given me a vision for it. But it can't be just me being the one doing it. We're all seeds. We're all ground. We're all part of the vine. Every single one of us being fed by God himself. So that we can produce fruit. Come on, at the beginning of service, we talked about our youth group. 20 to 30 kids show up here because it's a safe place. And they can hang out and they can feel loved. And they can sometimes even be told, no, don't do that. No, we don't do that. They might not be hearing that at home. And you know what? They come back. They get to hang out, they get to feel loved, they get to hear some word, and it's going to affect them. That seed is in them. Because if it wasn't affecting them, they wouldn't be coming back week after week. But it's getting in them. They're feeling the love of God. They're getting the word of God sown in them. Amen? Did this help? The thing is that we have a responsibility. I can be stony ground, right? Or I can be good ground. Am I the kind of ground that is going to receive the word of God? Yes. Right? After I graduated Teen Challenge, I came back to my parents' house, and I was just on the verge of waking up one morning. And the Lord said to me, he said, the seed that I have put in you is precious. Take care of it. His seed is precious. It's up to us to receive it. It's up to us to take care of it. It's up to us to do something about it. We've got two babies over here. Okay, let's just say that those babies are seed. Do you just leave them in the crib all day? I mean, if you follow Erica, you know that's not true. Man, I mean, she is the most doting mother. I mean, and Ava is all over Facebook. She's obviously loved, right? The same with the Word of God. You can't just put it in the crib and take it out every Sunday. It's going to die. We have to be doing something with it every day. Cultivating it. Watering it with the water of the Word. That's what Paul said. Watering it with the water of the Word. Water seed with the water of the Word. Build yourself up. The more you read something, the more you hear something, the more it becomes something of value to you. When something is of value to you, you take care of it, right? Amen.